हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, continue with the outline of Bhaktisandarbha, page 4. Next, the method of attainment of the Supreme Lord, Abhideya, and the final goal of the devotee, Prayojana, need to be discussed. The actions to be performed, Abhideya, are actions producing favorableness to the Lord, since that is the opposite of the jiva's aversion to the Lord. This means worship the Lord, from which knowledge, jnanam, of the Lord arises. The goal, Prayojanam, is realization, anubhava, of the Lord. The realization means internal and external perception of the Lord, shakshat kara, from which all suffering will be destroyed. Bhaktisandarbha Anucheda 1. So the action before our Abhideya are actions of favorableness to the Lord, because that's the actual meaning of the Abhideya. I mean, we can use it in its extended, reflected sense of any activity. You have relationship, you have activity, you have result. And so on the material platform, you can apply that, and it will work because it is Krishna's creation. So it works according to him. He's Satchitananda. Everything is according to that. Therefore, then everything will work in that context. What's that?
Oh, those guys.
Which guy?
Karapokas?
Oh.
Oh, crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
bite?
No.
They
just jump. Yeah. In China, they keep them as pets. They have a little bamboo cage like this, and they keep the crickets. They're the ones that make that sound.
Oh, no, no. Is
this one?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. At night and in the morning they go creep creep.
That's them?
Yeah. Or when it sometimes is hotter, then you get that, they'll do that creep, something like that. They do the noise according to the temperature. Yeah. These are small crickets.
Small?
Yeah, I think you have bigger ones.
Yeah.
They have big crickets. And you have grasshoppers. They're like grasshoppers. You know grasshopper?
Grasshopper, I know.
What do you say grasshopper in Russian?
Yeah.
But they're green.
Huh?
The grasshoppers are big.
Green, yeah. Green. But here also you get small, but they're in that kind of family. They just jump, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you don't have one of those horror movies that the grasshopper that ate Moscow or something. Yeah.
the problem.
Nothing can work so much.
Okay, so abhideya, so you have that aspect, but technically abhideya then means what's the real meaning of something, right? The abhida shakti. So when you have the abhida shakti, that means actually what the verse means. So whatever the verses are meaning in the scriptures, it's meaning to do favorable service to the Lord. That's actually what all verses are for. They're explaining the nature of the Lord, the favorable service to the Lord, and doing things in devotion to the Lord. Right? So that's the thing, it says, producing favorableness to the Lord. So that's what has to be seen. So an action that doesn't produce favorableness to the Lord, even though mechanically it may be working to gain a result, it's not actually abhideya. Right? Because abhideya means it's favorable to the Lord. So that means then it's going to have, you know, something else mixed in it. Does that make sense? Okay, and then from this worship, the knowledge of the Lord arises, because the Lord reveals Himself. So you can't do. It's just not. It's not that I do action, I get knowledge. It's you do do action to please the Lord, then He'll reveal Himself. Right? In the material platform, you perform the action here, you'll get the knowledge from here. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But on the Lord, because He's independent, then you have to perform spiritual action that's favorable to the Lord. Then He'll reveal Himself. Right. So that's then the whole point of the Bhaktisandarbhas. What activities please the Lord? Therefore, then He reveals Himself, and then that relationship you can act within that.
I guess the difficulty comes is being here for so long, we work in terms of cause and effect.
Yes.
So we used to that formula.
Yes.
So I'm the cause, where's the effect?
Yeah.
But then in devotional service, like you explained, Lord reveals Himself whenever and however.
Yes.
So I'm not the cause.
Yeah, He's the cause, He's the effect.
Exactly. And so this is like confusing some devotees, even bewildered, so we have to, yeah, you know, constantly remind ourselves that I'm not the cause,
yeah,
and the effect is by Krishna's grace, and in the form also, how He likes it to, because we usually have an idea how the effect
should
manifest.
Be. Yes, yes.
But it's
and
not
then
necessary.
There's reality.
Yeah. And then there's frustration, obviously, and then devotees think, okay, I'm frustrated from performing, you know, abhideya, or pure devotion. So how is that? It's opposite of the description in the Bhagavad. So, you know, but this is very like refreshing.
Yes, yes, yes. And then it says the prayojana is realization, anubhava of the Lord. Because remember, anubhava then means when there's realization, then yes.
Anubhava, Mahārāja. Anubhava is different from anubhava. Anubhava means experience of realization.
Yes, yes. But I'm just saying you have that aspect of when you have an understanding, then it creates a mood of wanting to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not necessarily an ecstatic symptom, but it's the principle that I do something, it creates a result, I become inspired. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the real point. The prayojana is that if you just have an understanding, that's sambandha. But you have a realization, so therefore you want to serve the Lord. That's the anubhava that it's talking about.
So is it a different anubhava on like...
Sorry to say that. It's how you spell it is different. Anubhava, this is bhava. That is bhava.
Anubhava. Is long A or short A? Anubhava?
So what,
anubhava.
So what Rupa Goswami explains in devotional service,
that's anubhava.
Anubhava.
Yeah, but that
so
means it has all those ecstatic symptoms.
Uh-oh.
But you see, they're also explaining that the anubhava is when when let's say you see the Lord, you walk into the temple, you see the Lord, you feel like offering obeisances.
Right.
Does that make sense? So yeah. That's that side. But the ecstatic symptom that's there, crying or rolling on the ground, that's the anubhava.
Okay,
yeah,
it's easy when you read in Sanskrit.
Yeah, that's there. You do have that. There is advantages in Sanskrit. Especially Devanagari, because it kind of works out.
Yes, definitely.
So, but this is the short one. You know, it's just like before I was, you know, then Bhavananda Prabhu, then he's talking to Baba, he said, you know, Bhavananda, you know, the, and I said, no, it's not Bhava, it's Bhavananda. Mm-hmm. Bhava means the world, material world. What's that? You know, happiness of the material world, because he's so much, you know, can arrange nice things in the material world. So, you know, he does the gardens, he does all the things, and that's the same kind of. But the that principle is that, you know, you have the mechanical aspect of the anubhava. All right, more.
Yeah, I'd like to have it more.
More. Okay. We'll turn it up to 3 and see what happens. Oops. Maybe you have to be close. Maybe you need some batteries.
Now it's coming. Anubhava.
No, this is Anubhava.
Anubhava.
No, but that's the happiness in the material world, so it's Anubhava.
So Maharaj, just to clarify, because I'm like,
but it's like you have, it's like, let's say, you have the mechanics, then you have the connection to Krishna in the mood.
Yeah.
It's just like the mechanics of cooking are the same whether you're cooking for Krishna or not.
Yes.
So we're making the distinction between the mechanics and the mood.
Yeah.
But the point is that the goal, Payojan, is realization of the Lord. It means that you realize the Lord. That comes through this jnana. You do service, it gives jnana, you get realization of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But just because you have realization of the Lord doesn't mean necessarily you're doing something. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
In that mood. It's just like you see as Daksha, right?
Yeah.
He's famous for being like the ultimate Karmakandi. You know, he even makes Jaimini look, you know, like a kid. You know?
Yes, grasshopper.
Huh? Yes. But you see in the, I think it's 6th canto, there's the Hamsaguya prayers.
Oh, yeah.
So they may have that realization, but it hasn't come to the point of prema, or that there's a dynamic wanting to serve.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you have the Sambandhavide and Prayojana, you're going to have the mechanics of how they work, but then you're going to have the particular feeling or experience of them working.
Yeah.
They're two different things. They're together, but they're different. You know, as we used before, in ancient times when we talk about the masculine and feminine principle,
mm-hmm.
the masculine principle tends to look at the mechanical aspect of the three. The feminine looks at the experiential aspect of the three.
Mm-hmm.
That's why something's going on, you've done so much, but the woman will say, nothing's happening. Because it's not creating any move. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the two, they run parallel. But one is the mechanics of it, and one is the experience of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So here we're talking about experience, the prayojana.
The prayojana means it's that, but it's realization. It means you realize, but then you want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
No?
I mean, it's going okay here.
Yes, yes,
way
it's
out
fine.
That field. So he's just sitting there. Okay, when he's finished, then I'll mention. That's another thing. It's correct, but it's not this. So that's why you get these things, the explanations, depending on where they're emphasizing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you see, is sometimes it's talked about the anubhava is the ecstatic symptoms. But then sometimes it's talking about that position of that you had that feeling of doing something. It's not the experience, it's you want to do an activity. You're inspired. You know, it's an udipan.
Yeah.
You know, but that udipan means you want to do an activity. So that's the whole point is we're bringing out here is this abhideya, is that you perform abhideya, you know, activities that are favorable to the Lord. He reveals himself through that knowledge, then that continued activity, then you get realization and then you want to do. Like in the beginning, we're performing the abhideya process through knowledge. That by doing this, I'll elevate myself from the material platform and actually come to the transcendental platform. Right?
Yeah.
But then, at some point, it comes to where I want to do this.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then we know prayojana, but then there's realization of prayojana, where now you want to do. So this also makes the difference between vaidhi and rag.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so in other words, in the beginning, it's given by Krishna. It's all arranged by Krishna, and through his representatives, through the scripture and everything. But then but we have to take it up because it's voluntary. It's an individual voluntary process. But once one gets into it, then it just naturally flows on its own.
Mm-hmm.
The bhakti just takes over, and then you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Just bringing together that in here we're defining in the Abhideya that it's all connected, but it has these fine points. Like we'll see when we get into the Nyaya Sutras, that they're talking about one thing, but they're giving so many different finer aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have these subdivisions and names and this and that. Right? So then you're going to have that inspiration to do something. So that's what we're talking about here. So that means is realization. But the realization is this is what I want to do. Not realization is just a matter of knowledge. That's generally how we think of it. If I realize means I know. No, that's called understanding. I realize, then I it's important to me. I value it. I want to be involved in that. Just like if you know, let's say, to be clean. You know, you do it because there's an understanding, but when you realize cleanliness, you spontaneously do the activity. Does that make sense? So it's a subtle point. So this is where these things come up, is that they're thinking that just the mechanics itself is going to produce, because in the material platform, the mechanical result is where I say there'll be happiness.
Yeah.
No one's talking about realization. Means when people say, oh, I realized, it means I understood it. No. Realize means you want to do it. Understanding means you see why you should do it, or the importance of doing it. But realization means that's what you want to do. You will do that. It's important to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you know, everybody knows you eat and you get energy and all that, okay? And so then let's say you're traveling and you have, you know, a group, and somebody in the group is, you know, very particular about what they want to eat, you know? And you're telling them, you know, hey, you know, we have this, you know, it's not so great, but, you know, we should eat because, you know, we're not going to, you know, there's nothing else right now going to happen. But they have an understanding of the importance of food. But it's not about that. You know what I'm saying? They have for them, their realization is good taste is of value. So that they'll do. So it doesn't taste so great. You know, it's an ordinary thing, or it's some cold pakoras or something. You know, it's nothing fabulous. And so then they're not interested. Everybody else eats. Then after 6 hours, then they start to see everybody else is going along, and they're running out of energy and, you know, about to die. You know? Now the next time something comes along, there's a realization. And so they eat because now they see food's important, because without it you don't have energy. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
Also, they went with this school, Puri. She was four.
Pune.
Puri.
Puri, okay.
Puri, many years ago.
Oh, okay, okay.
She was four. Right. And then she came back. She was explaining to somebody, a friend, that you shouldn't stay like this to prasadam, because later you will not get anything. So better you eat now, because because after that, you know, after food is gone, it's gone. You won't get anything else. So she realized it at the age of 40, exactly. Because kids are picky, you know.
Yeah, they're very picky.
Yeah, so she said probably did once like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't get much, and then she was so hungry, and there was no food. They went somewhere else, and then she realized it was very good.
Yeah.
And then she was much less picky.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's yes.
That's the picky.
Yeah. So you understand, we're talking about that you value it, therefore you'll endeavor for it. It doesn't mean the experience that you're gaining from that activity. That's the anubhava. We're just talking mechanics of it. That you want to be involved in it. You know, it's just like Mother Shoshi Krishna, she wants to feed him. But the ecstasy she gets from that, that's the anubhava. Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Yavichari Bhavas. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So there's the mechanics of it. That's why you see is that there is this aspect of that, you know, Yoga Maya deals with this mechanics. She's arranging the field and seeing that the results come out. Right? But the ecstasy that comes from that, that's arranged by Pahladi Vishakti. You understand? So they're all non-different. Like the fragrance of the food, the nice look of the food, the taste, they all go together. But they're individual aspects. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just recently studying Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions three anubhavas. Mm-hmm. Three vibhavas and
yes,
three
yes.
prabhavas.
Yes, yes.
So those three anubhavas, the Pladini, Sambit, Sandini, which are they?
Which
is
are?
Is it like connected to the anubhava that
means that yes, we means their anubhavas means in Pentamon is if he's mentioning, but it'll have both of the effects, because the prabhava means it's the influence. You know, it means what's what's influencing to make things happen.
Right.
Right? And then the Vibhava is who's involved in it.
Yeah.
Because Krishna, you know, Krishna is the Ashraya and the Vishai. So he's saying, he means Vishai, the Ashraya. So it basically means the Ashraya. So is it material energy? Is it the jiva, or is it the spiritual energy?
Yes.
Then the anubhava means what is going to be the experience that's there, and that whole operation of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. You're going to get both of them happening at once. This is when you're saying before the confusion, because we'll catch one or we catch the other. We don't catch them both.
Yeah.
Because it's not. It has to be one. It has to be the other. No, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. Whichever is going on, that's which one you're talking about. So sometimes you see they're talking about the mechanics, sometimes they're talking about the... You know, it's just like mechanically, this is how you do things. But actually, this is the mechanics of Abhideya. Right? But then there's the mood of Abhideya that he points out, that it is actions are performed favorableness for the Lord. So that means if it's favorable to the Lord, means there's going to be, like we were discussing yesterday, that someone's performing brahminical activities. So the activity itself is favorable to the Lord. That's why it's pious. But it's not considered devotional service until those brahminical activities are done to actually please the person. Right? It means that Krishna's pervades, that everything is Krishna. There's nothing that's not Krishna.
Yeah.
And the energies of this everything, you know, the energies of the Brahman aspect, when they are managed, they give results. That's Paramatma. So, the activities that are favorable to Krishna, the person, are those. But until you do that to please him, the person,
yeah,
it doesn't become bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
So that's why you see is that what we were talking before is that the pious person is theistic. He accepts it's God's laws. He accepts that this is what we should do. The two. Otherwise, if you turn that one on more and this one on less.
Just the
shoulder. Oh, okay. It's certainly far out. How the left shoulder feels the cold, the right doesn't.
This way.
Huh? No. But I'm just saying it has to do because the heart's on this side and there's a whole. Yeah, that's why this side is covered. This side's open. You know, because also it's open for your arms free. You can't do an arti with all those things on. Yeah. But it's somehow you feel that this one will feel cold. This one won't. Only when it gets real cold, you'll feel it. That's why also you wear your shudder on that shoulder, and you know, stuff like that. Yeah. For anybody listening, that's the left shoulder, just in case you didn't catch it. Yeah. Okay. So, what are we talking about there? It's talking about the between the two and not understanding the connections. Yes. Okay. So the Brahman's performing it. Therefore, as we were saying yesterday, it's going in a direction towards Krishna. Because it's favorable to the Lord, but not as a person. It's only favorable to the Lord as Brahman, as Paramatma, as the controller of the material world, or as the actual, you know, the material energy. It's not favorable to him as a person, as Bhagavan. But it's going in that direction. So therefore the devotees use that same field, but they add in that it's for the person. That's where it becomes bhakti. So that's why that overlap. You know, just like on the activities of karma, then we're performing those activities that are favorable to the Lord, but in devotion. Well, the karmis are performing the same action, but not for pleasing the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You say, what to please Brahman or Paramatma, because they'll get their karmic result. But they're not actually about pleasing him as the person. Like, it's just like, I go to the office and meet the bureaucrat there, I take some prasad. Right? So then the point is that you want him to be happy with you so he signs your paper. It's not that you're necessarily, Mr. Dutta, you're really worried about him. Right? You know what I'm saying? But why that aspect? If you're taking because you always give everyone prasad because you want everyone to get benefit of prasad, that's another aspect. And I'm saying you're going and being nice and smiling or, just following the etiquette because you want him to sign your paper. So you could say you want to please him. So when you say to the karmi that you should please the Lord, they agree with it. But they just don't know how far, you know, it actually means to please. They don't understand pure bhakti. So they're performing mixed bhakti. You know, even down to the point of bhakti misra karma, then it's still, they see it in context of the theistic aspect, you know, of pleasing the Lord. But it's simply about them getting what they want. Well, karma misra bhakti means that it's about bhakti of the Lord, but they still have some attachment to the results. The bhakti misra karma, it's just about the results, but they're pious, so they're willing to go to the Lord for that. Does that make sense? So that's the that aspect. So that's the artha, you know. They want, or artarte. They want something, so they go to the Lord.
Sat. So then, in here, is that he's pointing out Abhideya actually means it's favorable to the Lord as the person. Because he says it's opposite of the aversion to the Lord. That means it's now it's positive towards the Lord. The other one, it happens to be, but it's not that you're doing it specifically to please him because you're worried about him being pleased. You know, you're worried about getting your result. Therefore, you know, he's the boss, he has to be pleased. So just by reversing that, it still is mixed with that aversion to the Lord, but you're willing to recognize the Lord. Therefore it takes you towards the Lord. Your back still may be to the Lord, but you're moving towards the Lord. You know, so that's where the moon step comes from. Moonwalk comes from. See, he didn't actually realize that that's how the karmas advance, you know, towards the Lord, but still not quite. You got to turn around. So you have to watch. When you're doing the moonwalk and when you get to the end, you turn around, then that's correct. But if you see they go this way and then come back to the center of the stage, then they've gone away from the Lord because they've gotten what they wanted. All these things you can see in that. Okay. So is that here? So this Abhideya means that the Shastra is saying, perform pure unalloyed devotional service. That's all the Shastra is saying. You know, one may say, no, but different Shastras say, you know, just like for worshipping Kali and killing the goat. No, they're trying to bring you to pure devotional service, but you're so far away, you have no interest. But at least you'll be interested to follow some of the technique. Because I'm there. Killing the goat, you know, midnight, dark moon night out in the cemetery. And these aren't the things that you find Krishna's really into, you know. Krishna's not a goth or something, you know. But you're following Shastra, you're following Guru, you're using the proper mantra, the proper ritual. It means that principles you're using. So the detail is getting weird. But the principle that it's based on is proper. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be the lowest level. And then it goes up through, I think, there's five levels of that. And it's the top level, that will be proper devotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, therefore, they're more pious. That's why Prabhupada said a Kali worshipper, who, you know, proper Kali worshipper, he's more pious, actually, than you know, someone from, you mentioned, the Christian background. You know, because that person has that faith in the Lord, but there is no, you know, who's the guru? Who's the this, that? How are they going? What's the, they don't know these things. But here, they're following Shastra, so they have a sadhana, they have all the different things. They respect guru, they do, you know what I'm saying? So it's more nicely manifest. So therefore, that Kali is in a better position.
Can we say that one is more progressive than the other?
Meaning?
Progressive means it will come to that.
It will in the long run. Let's say the Krishna there, if he comes in contact with pure devotees, at least the philosophical, because of the monotheistic, that part may be grasped quickly. But you see the cultural part of it, devotees after 50 years are still struggling with that. You know, I mean, just it's not, as long as they get the main part right, it doesn't matter. You remember Krishna at the time of death, don't go back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? But this whole thing that after 50 years and they're still fighting against Varnashram, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, that's not favorable. But you see the philosophy and all that, and the direct devotional activities, that they've accepted. But there's the development of the indirect, how that connects to Krishna, that there's no... doesn't seem to be any gyan on that, or any understanding of that. That's not the principle that they're working at. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of thing. But you see, the Kali worshipper, he's situated better culturally and all that. So religious wise, he's better. But at the same time, as philosophically, he might have a little more problem.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I don't know if you noticed before, those who are like, you know, serious,
you know, proper Shaivite backgrounds. You know, you see in the class when they come and they sit, they're very dark for a very long time. The complexion. It takes a long time before that goes away. Because they have so many doubts. I mean, as far as sadhana, this, that, there's no problem. Like that. They're probably even better at it. But you see is that they'll have these doubts because, you know, Shiva's God, this, that, and how you move, and this, that, you know, anything connected with Shiva and showing some superior, that immediately. So it takes a long time, years and years. But that's pretty good. That's the power of pure devotional service. Somebody was mentioning, they were talking with one Mayavadi, I think it was from Guru Vayur. And they mentioned to him about, you know, they're talking something, and he was so much appreciating what we were doing and how we're doing and this and that. The person says, so why did he take it up? He says, once you get into Mayavad, you're basically, I don't know what would be the appropriate word, but you're messed up for millions of, you know, years. You know, you're screwed.
You're hooked.
You tanked it. Yeah. And so it's just it's so deep and it's so insidious. So that's the thing. But by association, it will go away. The holy name is so powerful.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. The religion for them is no problem. Anybody you see from a smarta background is, you know, it's so easy for them. But, and the philosophy means that it's all Vedic and all those things are not a problem. But the point about the absolute and the personal, that's where they have a problem. On the Abrahamic, the personal is okay, but at the same time, it's not actually a real personal, because ultimately it's not, if you push far enough. So you don't push, just talk about, you know, loving God and that. Don't go farther. Otherwise, it goes into the other side. But then, And depending upon their background, if they come from a more orthodox background, for them also the sadhana is not difficult. It's just a different sadhana, but the concept that your life is based on this sadhana, that's for them is normal. You believe in God, you follow this lifestyle. But, you know, if they come from a more, I say, reform or other backgrounds, you have to also have more orthodox and less orthodox. Like that, and so means the Orthodox follow really strictly things, and they're very careful, and then the less are less. Yeah, so it just depends on the background. It's just like that. You know what I'm saying? So I would expect that someone's from a, let's say, even in the Christian, if they're from Orthodox, it'd be a little easier for them. Then a Catholic would also be fairly easy, a little less, because there's less ritual, but then if they're from Protestant, then they'll have so much problem, because Protestant's about throwing out tradition, throwing out all this stuff. But in general, Christianity has a problem, because they were, technically, they're Jews that threw out their religion and supposedly kept the philosophy. But the philosophy they kept is only the Upadharma, be nice, be good, turn the other cheek, you know, all that kind of stuff.
They're Jewish apasampradaya.
Yeah, they're Jewish apasampradaya.
Outnumbered.
Yeah. Oh, because they preach. They don't know what they're talking about, but they preach. That's the whole problem, is that they'll have the thing, is that they'll go back into the background and then they'll disappear. Because the thing is Krishna West is spreading through ISKCON, not outside ISKCON. You don't hear of them dynamically making devotees, bringing in and things like that. They just go after ISKCON devotees. Like, you know, I was saying before, Gaudiya Math, they don't go after the outside, they go after what's in ISKCON. Huh?
Before?
When?
Same before. Keep going,
I mean, yeah, I mean, before what we were discussing about it. The previous conversation.
Now we are tired of discussing it.
Yes, it's like, who cares? That's just the modus operandi. So we just don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's very easy to do that, but to start your own thing, that's the difficulty. You know, just like somebody goes and starts it,
and you work very hard to make the project, and nobody cares, and people criticize, and after 10, 20 years, and it all happens, and now it's people, and everything's happening, then the institutional management steps in, okay, we'll take it from here, you know, and then get rid of those guys, and then the thing collapses. And then that guy goes, now that he spent 20 years, he knows what to do, so now he goes and makes a new one, and in 5 years now it's good. You know, so, yeah. So, these kind of things one wants to be very careful of, you know, because it's that's why you have both the philosophy and the religion. Does that make sense? So that's what I was saying is religiously, the Kali worshipper is better than the Krishna because he actually has more substance to the religion. He has less in his philosophy. Because he may have a lot of philosophy, but he doesn't know that they're the Supreme Absolute. He's not monotheistic. So the Krishna, he's got a better situation there, because philosophically he's monotheistic. But as far as religion, it's only a faith. Right? And that's technically, that's in the moderns how they define religion. It's a type of faith. But it's not. Religion means the inherent nature of something.
Yeah.
You want to eat a goat, this is the inherent nature of how it's done. You know, so they don't follow the religion, they just eat the goat, but they, you know, they say, you know, I say, God give us this, our
daily bread?
Yeah, not the daily bread. What's the first part of it? Yeah, whatever. But whatever it is, you know, it's just, you know, they have some kind of grace or something that they say like that. You have they would have prayers they would say before they eat? You didn't.
Okay.
Every has. Okay.
It wasn't a new age, they
really? They all hold hands, and also the some of the Protestant Christians, they hold hands.
And say whatever they think.
Oh, I see. But they just talk about what they...
I saw your movie, so I don't know.
Okay. Okay. You're just quoting...
This is Pramana.
Yeah, just quoting Pramana.
Straight Pramana.
I'm saying my Pramana.
Coming from the, what do you call it? From the mouth of the Aptas.
Those Aptas, they would say every day something else.
Yeah. It's just, it's you know, spontaneous and, you know... Yeah, today I saw sunrise and, you know, I remembered my mother. Yeah, okay.
I just said, the instinct of the traditional to pray after food.
They pray after food?
Yeah, I always go there to wash my hands, not, but they feel offended because I didn't pray after food.
Oh, okay, because you prayed before. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it is practical.
Prepaid, postpaid. If the food was good, you say yes.
And if it wasn't good, you don't say anything. There's also the aspect is if you're out in the middle of the desert and you get some food, you eat it first and then pray after, because in the meantime, someone else will come along and take it. So. Yes, there's time, place, and circumstances. Also in the Veda, because we don't get into it, the smarter than the Brahman, things like that, after you've eaten, then they wash your hands, then there is mantras that they chant for digestion and this and that. There's a ritual. You know, there's a ritual before how you do the parisesana, the grains you feed the life heirs. You don't chew, you just swallow the grains and then the water around and sip and do all this thing. Cause you take water and put a seat for nectar, like that, then like this, then you eat, and then afterwards then you sit for covering, then you go wash, and then they have mantras. So the devotees, I have to say the prayer, so ritualistic and all that. They don't know what ritual is. They have no idea. They have no idea. Yes?
Question. You are our ground on our devotional service when we already devotee.
It can, it doesn't have to. See, it's a matter of if it's prominent or not. It means one has habits, those habits will continue for a while. Like Prabhupada said, you have the fan, you turn it off, it spins for a while before it stops. But the point is that if you hear, don't do that, you know,
So then, you know, you just don't do that. But otherwise, if it's not mentioned or by habit, you'll just naturally do what you used to do. But then the thing is it's whether there's an identity there or not. See, if there's no identity there, and habits from the past are being done, it's not actually such a difficulty, because by chanting and, you know, association, it will go away. But if there's an identity with it, you know, like all this, you know, modern new agey and those kind of things, that will be a problem. You know, like before, you have those groups that they just preach on what do you call it? Astrology or Ayurveda or things like that. They're working with an identity. And so then people join with that. They don't give it up because they identify it with being Krishna conscious.
Now it's yoga.
Now it's yoga, yeah. So yoga is that.
And vegan.
Huh?
Vegan.
And being vegan, yeah. So these kind of things. Yeah, see, out of touch on it. Yes, got to keep up with the times every 6 months, you know. Yeah, so that kind of thing, because vegan is because it's a philosophy. But devotees who are vegan, they don't even understand their philosophy. You know, they think they're doing something great, but they're not. So that is hard to go away, and they expect the deities to be vegan, and everyone to be vegan, and the whole world to be vegan, and, you know, Goloka should be vegan. And, you know, get rid of the cows, let them wander in the fields.
Goloka, then you can call it Goloka.
Yeah, you just call it
just Loka.
Just Loka.
Loka.
Maybe, or what do you call it? Chickpea Loka.
Tapioca Loka.
You know, because you have to grow the chickpeas, you know, because then from the chickpeas you can eat those and get all the protein, and then you can also, when you soak it, you get the water and you can fluff it up and get your.
Yeah,
Fava. Fava. No? Aquafaba. You know, so then it can be chickpea loca. Like that, you know, and then, you know how you say?
Protein loca.
Protein loca, yeah. So then the gopis are all farmers now, you know, so. Like that, you know. Carrying baskets of chickpeas on their head to the market.
They do
label it. Hmm?
And there's bars, protein bars.
Yeah, yeah. No? Not does it sound inspiring?
Not at all.
No.
No.
And we'll be worshiping Chickpea Devi.
In fact, I heard an explanation of Shivan's family that he told he wanted to join the party, and he told example that Yanamaya wasn't going to really help us.
Jnanamaya. Vijnanamaya or Jnana?
In Jnana Karma, there are a lot of stories how weak devotees from who were purified by following the Vedic Shastras became advanced devotees.
Yes, of course.
But I have a doubt, but I want to understand why it happened. Because I was a teacher of Indian students in the country.
There was a teacher of?
Indian student.
Indian student, okay.
And I teach to them, and I see that for them it's very difficult to start to practice Krishna consciousness. And I compare with our local devotees and join it at the same time. And the advantage of Indian students is that they can very easily come to celebrations, to festivals, to programs, but they don't want to chant japa. And our devotees are very quickly start to chant 16 rounds and to try to get speech and other things, but for instance, it's very difficult. And many of them, when I teach them within 10 years, they still maybe chant only one round, not more. Mm. And I want to ask, what is the reason?
Because they created an identity that, you know, these things are, before joining, that these things are old-fashioned and not important. And so, therefore, their identity is that we're up-to-date modern Indians. We move with the Western cultural things. But at the same time, all the things that they do value, you know, are there in place. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the wedding, the bride, she has a very nice sari and this and all the Indian jewelry, but you'll see her hair is straight loose. Right? But if you look at any Western, karmi, thing. No woman has her hair untied during wedding. It's always tied to some amazing, fabulous thing. Yeah, flowers, and you know, and how they twist. And it's just that there's no question of it. But their things, no, we're Westerners, our hair is loose. But they always, no matter what, their hair is loose. That's not Western. Western is, it's loose if that's what's going on, and if there's something, you're, let's say if you're going to go wash dishes or clean the bathroom, you put your hair up. But they'll be sitting there with their hair dragging all over in the toilet and this and that, because they're Westerners, you know? No idea. So they've made this identity. So that's what that question before about identity. They identify that we don't do that. So that's why it's harder. Why you don't have that identity with the local devotees. But you'll see is if they do participate, it's much easier for them. If they do have an area that's not, like that going to a festival, then they'll be more involved and more like this than others. You know, so it's just where the identity. So there, the advantage you can say is for those from not from the Indian background is there's no identity. And so they can take it up new. But if, as we said before, if their identity is very strong on something that's non-devotional or something like that, that'll be hard to get rid of also. So it's the same thing. So someone who identifies, you know, New Age too strongly, they'll have the same problems that the Indian who identifies that, you know, we're modern has. Yes, please.
One more detail in that is, generally they've seen their childhood only their grandparents doing that. So it's inherently in their mind, these things you do in old age, not young.
Okay.
And it takes much more time to make them understand, and most of them do understand when you explain detailly how it's not just a normal ritual, it is spiritual. You need to differentiate between the social rituals or the religious aspect to telling it it is a spiritual, that it's spiritual. I do see like those are young, they don't mind doing once they understand it.
Once they get over it, so it's not too
yeah.
So that makes sense. So in other words, you have to make the distinction between what's the ritual, you know, the religious thing, and what's the spiritual. Because generally, even the modern thing, they'll catch the spiritual more easily than the religion. So once you show that it's spiritual, you know, because for us, we're following the eternal religion. See, there's eternal religion, that's the thing that's always done, and that's the direct activities. Right? Then the indirect activities, that's where the religion comes in. And so they're used to seeing religion, the indirect meaning has nothing to do with, or it's later like this, or, you know, so many times they say, yeah, when we're old, we'll do all that. In other words, if you can't do anything else, you absolutely cannot work, you can't, you know, sell anything, you can't go to the office, nothing, you're absolutely wasteful. Then they'll take it up. But then by then they can't take it up because they're already, you know, their brain is already too attached and they're lamenting that they can't do anything. That's, yeah, it's a very good point.
I also understand in this year we participated the first time embassy celebrations was private with the Indians.
Okay.
High class Indians working in the embassy for Janmashtami. Man, I've never heard such stupid things about Krishna.
This was actually embarrassing.
Very embarrassing. He said actually, and he's the second secretary in the embassy, young guy, very smart, very successful, obviously.
Right.
Beautiful wife, amazing house, you know. Still dressed like Indians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, we like Krishna because he's modern God. He is very open about relationships, you know, that's why we want to celebrate that.
He's a god of the youngsters.
Yeah.
That was his main point.
Hipsters, he even said.
The hipsters.
Hipsters, he said so many times. And I could not
understand. Well, I mean, if you think about it, Nanda Baba does have a really good mustache. And that's very important for hipsters.
Yeah, but he didn't have, so it was such a weird.
I felt like leaving.
That was the embassy, so no leaving there.
Yeah, no leaving. We needed them to sign the papers.
Exactly what we were talking about before.
Exactly about that. But I was shocked because they were cultured Indians. They told me his family are Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
And he said that for him, I talked with him before that celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the most important celebration is Janmashtami.
Yes, yes.
That's what he always does at home. And they are vegetarian on that day, no onion, no garlic.
Strict.
Much more weird things than that.
That was it. They don't want to hear that. They're satisfied.
We got the first-hand experience, couple of hours, that's it.
Oh, no, that's
yeah. They asked me to do a presentation. I just refused. I just played the fool, and I just mumble, and then I run away.
Okay.
We didn't just scare them.
Yeah. Well, but otherwise, if you talk about love of God, that they'll go for that, because they're also very sentimental.
I did Bhagavad Gita for them, and they were very happy.
They go. Anything that has some emotion, some relation in it, and this and that. But they also get into the modern. You see, if they're more intellectual, they tend towards those things.
Yeah.
Because I see is that, let's say, I noticed it first in South India, is that they'll take anything modern, anything that you get in the papers, latest developments, latest things like that, they'll bring that in and connect it. But they generally do a quite good job.
Yeah.
You know, they're sharp. But at the same time, as you know, that was a while ago. So they like to feel that they're up to date, you know, like that, you know, Krishna's hip and that. That's one aspect. Yeah, he is young, he's out with the young guys and all that, but at the same time, as you know, what about Markandeya, who's, you know, the oldest one around, you know, so, you know, like that. Yeah, he didn't mention that, you know. Shiva, Lord Shiva, you know, he was old. He was there.
They didn't
mention Shiva. No, but I'm just saying, you know, he's older and he's cool. And the Vedic thing, that's the thing, everybody's a youngster. No one gets old. Yeah, it's just, they just take that one thing, it makes them happy, and then they get into that, and it's cool, and then they do that, and then next time they'll try it again, if it's still new enough, but if not, they'll try something else. No, they kind of...
You all have experience. We never had any experience close like.
Oh no, that's like Pukka Hindu Bindu. This is high grade. This is intellectual Hindu Bindu. The other ones is just they don't know what to say.
They don't speak English, so you can't
really. Yeah. No. Yeah. But it's because when I go to the West, I generally, I mean, now as a policy, I avoid the Indian program. Because like Sunday programs for the locals, Saturday programs for the Indians, I avoid that. And also going to their homes, because I just see red. I just lay into them so heavy that it just freaks them out. You know. So yeah, just for me, I don't do good there. I'm sure maybe now with time I could do. But, you know, before, 20, 30 years ago, I couldn't just rip them to shreds. You know, they say, no, but this, you know, the West, this and that. You only come here to make money. You didn't come here because it was a spiritual. We met the devotees here. The devotees were there. You didn't know that. You didn't get here. And now you've made money, and so now you're lonely. So now you're looking around. You know, stuff like that. Because they want everything to be, you know, sadhus are supposed to be nice and pleasant and encouraging, and, you know, at least the North Indians. South Indians, you can be, you don't have to do that with them. You can be more formal sadhu. But North, they expect this, you know, babas.
But the new age, with the new age gurus, the South is also trending in that
direction. It's going in that direction now. Oh, with our Harley Walla.
I was very experienced.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was Shankara, Sadhu, Matra,
Sadhu.
They are very good.
If you're in those areas and all that.
When they are around, everything is the fear. Everybody fears like nothing should go wrong, otherwise, they'll last.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of the wide range. Because before, it was like, means you would see more of this in you know, earlier India, because there was no real establishment. So you had to do everything with the locals. And the first locals that everything was done with were the high class Indians. It didn't hit the street. Yeah, it was just on that. And slowly, so with time, as it gets established, then you bring more and more people, and then it spreads everybody. But you started there, and so then you start to see, you know, with time, especially the guys that were becoming members, their children, you know, like that. Some families were really modern and stuff like that. And so it's, and so you'd see, so you had to move them. But now you can just, you know, the only Indians you see are the ones, you know, outside the airport wanting to know if you want a taxi. And then you come here, and then whoever's moving through, coming for darshan. And that's it. You don't see it. You don't have to interact. So you don't quite have the same experience.
That's why it was for us firsthand.
Yeah, firsthand. First yeah, you first see them.
First time, because you see those Indians. Some of them are very emotional, like here. Some of them have all the watches, you know, the iPhones. And
yeah.
They look like, you know, normal.
But they're here because, you know, Krishna's a hipster.
I do remember the survey.
One time I visited my students to write the same symptoms, but I always did a concern of thinking in lack of write the same project what you've been doing the last hour of the same month.
Oh, okay.
And local students usually write how they really enjoy. And all Indians, mostly my Indian students wrote that because their parents wanted they become doctors, in the last hour of the day they will request government to become their doctors and to treat some people for fulfilling the dream of their parents. And when I read them, I was so much impressed, and I asked them, why do you love your parents so much that you want to dedicate the last hour to their dream? They told me because we see every day how much our parents love their parents, and we also want to serve to our parents such way. And then I asked them, why don't you practice Krishna consciousness? And they told me, because our parents don't allow us to fall. They want to be successful in material life. So can we conclude that in the time of Katrinot Thakur, the Indian society followed to the level of Yanomai portion, that's why it was a nice progress?
It means Yanomai would have been more prominent. Like that, because you saw us. I would say up to independence, Yanomai would have been more prominent, and it'll still be a bit, you know, here and there in the village and that, but that's disappearing. But with independence, then if you're not oppressed, you don't necessarily value what you have. Like in Bangladesh, the Hindus are really into, you know, Hare Krishna stuff, but the same Bengalis on this side, they couldn't care less. You know, does that make sense? So, anytime it's like that, it's generally they're more religious and they follow all that. So they'll follow. But the thing is to find what thread you can do. So you just have to try different angles. So you find, like, you know, Guru was saying here, a very important point of that. They take it that it's religious and they don't want to be religious. They don't understand that. You know, working hard at making the money is the religion of money. You know, so they're already religious. They just have to know how to apply it in a broader range than the narrow range they're applying it. Yes.
The main thing with the young students is first cash, those who are independently thoughtful.
Yeah.
And then convince them through philosophy.
Right.
And the practical experience of devotional service. Rest of the things they will tell. How the students, they should say lies to parents and these are not lies. Mm-hmm. And everything else they'll figure out because they have experience.
Mm-hmm.
All the other things which they say, oh, our parents, this, that. Those are there, but they're lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we preach in colleges, all these are the standard questions come and then we have standard answers for that. And there is no problem. They go to the next level.
Okay.
You have to answer it. in everything you deal with.
Yeah, you have
to know the mind of the people. That's why we were lost with those Indians.
You just have to know the mindset. And that stuff, you just put on the side. That's going to happen. It's just like the dog will slobber, will wag its tail, and will come and jump up on you. It will do that. You know, it's just that's the way it is. Whatever it is, you know, it's just birds chirp, you know, and cats meow and chase after mice, and cultured Indians will say these things. You know, so you just have to catch those ones. Just like Prabhupada, like we were saying with the he was dealing, anytime he's dealing generally with, especially with the Krishna, he just talks about love of God. That's the one point they'll all agree on. You don't get into anything else with them. Because as soon as you get into anything else, it's a big scene. So only if they're aggressive, then you start doing, you know, what about the Ten Commandments? You know, thou shalt not kill. So how are you Christian? How can you claim to be Christian if you're not following God's laws? God says don't kill. You're killing. So therefore, then, you know, so you don't get into that. You get into the one first, and then you find that place. So basically, you can use the same, because we have to appreciate, if you go back, New Age is actually the term for, would be kind of the modern application of Orientalism. New Age came from India. There's all the astrology, Vayurveda, all the alternative, everything alternative comes from India. You know, in India it's not alternative, it's the normal thing. So therefore, you can use those New Agey kind of angles, but, you know, from the proper Krishna consciousness, none of that, you know, kind of getting distracted. So you can use those, and, you know, that use modern events and modern things and issues and like that, and they like that. It's kind of an identity. You're talking that, they feel very pleased. It's not that it's an identity that it's cool to identify with that, but it's not actually the identity. Mm-hmm. If you cut enough, then you'll come down and you'll have them. You know what I'm saying? But let's say the Western person has grown up, it is, that is real to them. The Indians, it means we talk about what's up to date. What's ever up to date, that's what they talk about. As soon as it's not up to date, they don't talk about it. But, you know what I'm saying? The things I hear, you know, being presented to the community of devotees by the, you know, the leadership, this is the stuff that I heard as a kid. Right? This is the environment I grew up in. So these individuals now are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They're still talking the same thing. On the cultural platform, religious platform. Philosophy, then they're saying what Baba says. And when it comes to culture, they're still talking 1960s. It's amazing. Same stuff. So does that make sense? So they believe it. While the Indians, they don't believe it. They believe that being up to date is the thing. That we're Indians that are up to date. So they're still Indians. But we're up to date Indians. But the Westerners actually think what they're up to date is real. But the thing is whenever that solidifies, then they stay there. And as it moves on, then, oh, that's stupid, and the thing before was stupid. Their thing is the real thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that will be that they get stuck in a time warp. Yes.
Also, finally, what works even to the Indians at all times is when you do a program, our strengths are prasadam and kirtana.
Yes.
And nowhere, as far as I know, there is a concept in the Indian communities that you offer the full plate of bhoga to the Lord. They do offer little, but it's not like what you offer to the Lord, you eat that. That's one thing which even emotionally connects every Indian to Krishna consciousness. That we offer, like whatever we offer to Krishna, we eat that. It's not that we offer to Him something and we have our own thing. That's, and the kirtans also is like, now with the New Age they're adding, but otherwise, doing the kirtans.
They're quite happy.
They're, And that's what changes them. Then slowly the philosophy and all the other etiquettes, everything makes sense. But initially...
This is Prashad Kirtan.
Yeah. Is initially that chanting, it's like we should not even worry about them. They would not chant.
Yeah,
because they have their Lord Shiva and Ganapati.
Everybody is there.
They have their own choice of whose name they need to chant.
Yeah. So Prashad Kirtan. And the lecture you see, if you have a whole Indian group, they're all just talking in this while you're giving lecture.
Yeah.
You know? They're not being disrespectful. It's one of the rituals that has to be there.
Yeah.
So it's just like in the marriage. Everyone talks through the whole marriage, and depending on the community, at a certain point in the marriage, they announce everybody pays attention. You know, in the Mangala Sutra, everyone watches. And then after that, everyone talks. Yeah. So. Oh, go ahead.
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Therefore, then, abideya means those actions that are favorable to the Lord. That brings about guidance, prayojana, the actual realization. So that's the importance of... So it brings jnana. So in other words, if you know the knowledge, then you're going to take up the activity. Then by the activity, you get the prayojana. At the same time as the activity creates more understanding, so therefore your abhideya goes deeper, and you go that. I think it's mentioned in Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. When the samvit potency is mixed with ahladini, that's called bhakti. So in other words, action for the pleasure of Krishna, that's bhakti. When that happens, then the sandini potency reveals the Lord. Because his form is manifest from the sandini. You know, all form is manifest. So sandini manifests when the bhakti is performed. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.
Hari Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavīryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, continue with the outline of Bhakti Sandarbha, page 4. Next, the method of attainment of the Supreme Lord, Abhideya, and the final goal of the devotee, Prayojana, need to be discussed. The actions to be performed, Abhideya, are actions producing favorableness to the Lord, since that is the opposite of the jiva's aversion to the Lord. This means worship the Lord, from which knowledge, jnanam, of the Lord arises. The goal, prayojanam, is realization, anubhava, of the Lord. The realization means internal and external perception of the Lord, shakshat kara, from which all suffering will be destroyed. Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 1. So the action before our abhideya are actions favorableness to the Lord, because that's the actual meaning of the abhideya. I mean, we can use it in its extended, you know, reflected sense of any activity. You have relationship, you have activity, you have result. And so on the material platform, you can apply that, and it will work because it is Krishna's creation. So it works according to him. He's Satchitananda, everything is according to that. Therefore, then everything will work in that context.
Did someone say that?
What's that?
Which guy?
Karapoka?
Oh, crickets.
Do
they bite? No. They just jump. In China, they keep them as pets. They have a little bamboo cage like this, and they keep the cricket. They're the ones that make that sound.
Oh, no, no.
This one?
Huh?
Yeah. They also keep them as pets?
No.
Oh,
wow. It's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, no, they don't. They don't. They don't.
Yeah, it's
right. They will come over. See if I can turn this
on.
No, it's just they won't. Not sure how you got in.
Sorry.
Oh, they're the ones that hear it, you know, at night and in the morning they go, creep, creep.
Yeah. That's them?
Yeah. Or when it's sometimes it's hotter, then you get that, they'll do that, creep, something like that. They do the noise according to the temperature.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
These are small crickets.
Small?
Yeah, I think you have bigger ones.
Yeah.
Small ones.
Yeah. They have big crickets. And you have grasshoppers. They're like grasshoppers. You know grasshopper?
Grasshopper, I know.
What do you say grasshopper in Russian?
Yeah.
But they're green.
Huh?
The grasshoppers are green.
Green, yeah.
Green.
But here also you get small, but they're in that kind of family. They just jump, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you don't have one of those horror movies that the grasshopper that ate Moscow or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing can work so much.
Okay, so abhideya, so you have that aspect, but technically abhideya then means what's the real meaning of something, right? The abhida shakti. So when you have the abhida shakti, that means actually what the verse means. So whatever the verses are meaning in the scriptures, it's meaning to do favorable service to the Lord. That's actually what all verses are for. They're explaining the nature of the Lord, the favorable service to the Lord, and doing things in devotion to the Lord. Right? So that's the thing. It says producing favorableness to the Lord. So that's what has to be seen. So an action that doesn't produce favorableness to the Lord, even though mechanically it may be working to gain a result, it's not actually abhideya. Right? Because abhideya means it's favorable to the Lord. So that means then it's going to have, you know, something else mixed in it. Does that make sense? Okay. And then from this worship, the knowledge of the Lord arises. Because the Lord reveals himself. So you can't do, it's just not, it's not that I do action, I get knowledge. It's you do, do action to please the Lord, then he'll reveal himself. Right? In the material platform, you perform the action here, you'll get the knowledge from here. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But on the Lord, because he's independent, then you have to perform spiritual action that's favorable to the Lord, then he'll reveal himself. Right? So that's then the whole point of the Bhaktisandarbhas. What activities please the Lord, therefore then he reveals himself, and then that relationship, you can act within that.
I guess the difficulty comes is being here for so long, we work in terms of cause and effect.
Yes.
So we used to that formula.
Yes.
So I'm the cause, where's the effect?
Yeah.
But then in devotional service, like you explained, Lord reveals himself whenever and however.
Yeah.
So I'm not the cause.
Yeah, he's the cause, he's the effect.
Exactly. And so this is like confusing some devotees even bewildered, so we have to, you know, constantly remind ourselves that I'm not the cause, and the effect is by Krishna's grace, and in the form also, how he likes it to, because we usually have an idea how the effect
should
manifest.
Be. Yes, yes.
But it's
and
not
then there's reality.
Yeah. And then there's frustration, obviously, and then devotees think, okay, I'm frustrated from performing, you know, Abhideya or pure devotion, so how is that? It's opposite of the description in the Bhagavad. So, you know, but this is very, like, refreshing.
Yes, yes, yes. And then it says the prayojana is realization, anubhava of the Lord. Because remember, anubhava then means when there's realization, then yes.
Anubhava, Maharaj. Anubhava is different from anubhava. Anubhava means experience of realization.
Yes, yes. But I'm just saying you have that aspect of when you have an understanding, then it creates a mood of wanting to do something. You know, so it's not necessarily an ecstatic symptom, but it's the principle that I do something, it creates a result, I become inspired. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the real point. The prayojana is that if you just have an understanding, that's sambandha. But you have a realization, so therefore you want to serve the Lord. That's the anubhava that it's talking about.
So is it a different anubhava on like...
Sorry to say that. It's how you spell it is different. Anubhava, this is bhava. That is bhava.
Anubhava. It's long A or short A. Anubhava,
so what,
anubhava.
So what Rupa Goswami explains in devotional service,
that's anubhava.
Anubhava.
Yeah, but that
so
means it has all those ecstatic symptoms.
Uh-oh.
But you see, they're also explaining that the anubhava is when let's say you see the Lord, you walk into the temple, you see the Lord, you feel like offering obeisances.
Right.
Does that make sense? So
yeah.
That's that side. But the ecstatic symptom that's there, crying or rolling on the ground, that's the anubhava.
Okay,
yeah,
it's easy when you read in Sanskrit.
Yeah, that's there. You do have that. There is advantages in Sanskrit. Especially Devanagari, because it kind of works out.
Yes,
So, but this is the short one. You know, it's just like before it was, you know, then Bhavananda Prabhu, then he's talking to Baba, he said, you know, Bhavananda, you know, the and then I said, no, it's not Bhava, it's Bhavananda. Mm-hmm. Bhava means the world, material world. What's that? The happiness of the material world, because he's so much, you know, can arrange nice things in the material world. So, he does the gardens, he does all the things, and that's the same kind of. But the that principle is that, you know, you have the mechanical aspect of the anubhava. Mm-hmm. Alright, more?
Yeah, I'd like to have it more.
More? Okay. We'll turn it up to 3 and see what happens. Oops. Maybe you have to be close, maybe you need some batteries.
Now it's coming. Anubhava.
No, this is anubhava.
Anubhava.
No, but that's the happiness in the material world, so it's anubhava.
So, Maharaj, just to clarify, because I'm like.
But it's like you have. It's like, let's say, you have the mechanics, then you have the connection to Krishna. In the mood.
Yeah.
It's just like the mechanics of cooking are the same whether you're cooking for Krishna or not.
Yes.
So we're making the distinction between the mechanics and the mood.
Yeah.
But the point is here is that the goal, payojana, is realization. of the Lord. It means that you realize the Lord. That comes through this jnana. You do service, it gives jnana, you get realization of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But just because you have realization of the Lord doesn't mean necessarily you're doing something. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
In that mood. It's just like you see as Daksha. Right?
Yeah.
He's famous for being like the ultimate Karmakandi. You know, he even makes Jaimini look, you know, like a kid. You know?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Yeah. But you see in the, I think it's sixth canto, there's the Hamsaguya prayers.
Oh yeah.
So they may have that realization, but it hasn't come to the point of prema, or that there's a dynamic wanting to serve.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, when you have the Sambandhavide and Prayojana, you're going to have the mechanics of how they work, but then you're going to have the particular feeling or experience of them working.
Yeah.
They're two different things. They're together, but they're different. You know, as we used before, in ancient times when we talked about the masculine and feminine principle,
mm-hmm.
The masculine principle tends to look at the mechanical aspect of the three. The feminine looks at the experiential aspect of the three.
Mm-hmm.
That's why something's going on, you've done so much, but the woman will say nothing's happening because it's not creating any move. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the two, they run parallel. But one is the mechanics of it, and one is the experience of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So here we're talking about experience, the prayojana.
The prayojana means it's that, but it's realization. It means you realize, but then you want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
No? Are we is going okay here?
Yes, way it's out
fine. That field. So he's just sitting there. Okay, when he's finished, then I'll mention. That's another thing. It's correct, but it's not this. So that's where you get these things, the explanations, depending on where they're emphasizing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you see, is sometimes it's talked about the anubhava is the ecstatic symptoms. But then sometimes it's talking about that position of that you have that feeling of doing something. It's not the experience. It's you want to do an activity. You're inspired. You know, it's an udipan.
Yeah.
You know, but that udipan means you want to do an activity. So that's the whole point is what we're bringing out here is this abhideya, is that you perform abhideya. You know, activities that are favorable to the Lord, He reveals Himself through that knowledge, then that continued activity, then you get realization, and then you want to do. Like in the beginning, we're performing the Abhideya process through knowledge. That by doing this, I'll elevate myself from the material platform and actually come to the transcendental platform. Right?
Yeah.
But then, at some point it comes to where I want to do this.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So then we know prayojana, but then there's realization of prayojana, where now you want to do. So this also makes the difference between vaidhi and rag.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so in other words, in the beginning, it's given by Krishna, it's all arranged by Krishna, and through his representatives, through the scripture and everything. But then his I said, but we have to take it up because it's voluntary. It's an individual voluntary process. But once one gets into it, then it just naturally flows on its own.
Mm-hmm.
The bhakti just takes over, and then you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, just bringing together that in here we're defining in the Abhideya that it's all connected, but it has these fine points, like we'll see when we get into the Nyaya Sutras, that they're talking about one thing, but they're giving so many different finer aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have these subdivisions and names and this and that. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to have that inspiration to do something. So that's what we're talking about here. So that means is realization. But the realization is, this is what I want to do. Not realization is just a matter of knowledge. That's generally how we think of it. If I realize means I know. No, that's called understanding. I realize, then I it's important to me. I value it. I want to be involved in that. Just like if you know, let's say, to be clean, you know, you do it because there's an understanding. But when you realize cleanliness, you spontaneously do the activity. Does that make sense? So it's a subtle point. So this is where these things come up, is that they're thinking that, that just the mechanics itself is going to produce, because in the material platform, the mechanical result is where I say there'll be happiness.
Yeah.
No one's talking about realization. Means when people say, oh, I realized, it means I understood it. No. Realize means you want to do it. Understanding means you see why you should do it, or the importance of doing it. But realization means that's what you want to do. You will do that. It's important to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you know, everybody knows you eat and you get energy and all that, okay? And so then let's say you're traveling. And you have, you know, a group, and somebody in the group is, you know, very particular about what they want to eat, you know? And you're telling them, you know, hey, you know, we have this, you know, it's not so great, but, you know, we should eat because, you know, we're not going to, you know, there's nothing else right now going to happen. But they have an understanding of the importance of food, but it's not about that. You know what I'm saying? They have the, for them, their realization is good taste is of value. So that they'll do. So it doesn't taste so great. You know, it's an ordinary thing, or it's some cold pepperonis or something. You know, it's nothing fabulous. And so then they're not interested. Everybody else eats. Then after 6 hours, then they start to see everybody else is going along, and they're running out of energy and, you know, about to die. You know, now the next time something comes along, there's a realization. And so they eat because now they see food's important, because without it, you don't have energy. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I went with the school to Puri. It was four.
Puri, okay.
Puri, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
She was four. Right. And then she came back. She was explaining to somebody, a friend, that you shouldn't say like this to prasadam, because later you will not get anything. So better you eat now, because because after that, you know, after food is gone, it's gone. You won't get anything else. So she realized at the age of 40 that she wasn't explaining. Because kids are picky. You know?
Yeah, they're very picky.
Yeah, so she said probably did once like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't get much, and then she was so hungry, and there was no food. They went somewhere else, and then she realized it was very good.
Yeah.
And then she was much less picky.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's
the picky.
Yeah. So you understand, we're talking about that you value it, therefore you'll endeavor for it. It doesn't mean the experience that you're gaining from that activity. That's the anubhava. We're just talking mechanics of it. That you want to be involved in it. You know, it's just like Mother Yashoda sees Krishna, she wants to feed him. But the ecstasy she gets from that, that's the anubhava. Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Yavichari Bhavas. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So there's the mechanics of it. That's why you see is that there is this aspect of that, you know, Yoga Maya deals with this mechanics. She's arranging the field and seeing that the results come out. Right? But the ecstasy that comes from that, that's arranged by Pahladi Vishakti. You understand? So they're all non-different. Like the fragrance of the food, the nice look of the food, the taste—they all go together, but they're individual aspects. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just recently studying Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions three Anubhavas, three Vibhavas, and
yes,
three Prabhavas.
Yes, yes.
So those three Anubhavas, the Vladini, Sambhid, Sandini, which are they?
Which
is
are?
Is it like connected to the Anubhava that
their Anubhavas means in Pentamon is if he's mentioning, but it'll have both of the effects because the Prabhava means it's the influence. You know, it means what's what's influencing to make things happen.
Right.
Right? And then the Vibhava is who's involved in it.
Yeah.
Because Krishna, you know, Krishna is the ashray and then the vishay. So he's saying, he means vishay and the ashray. So it basically means the ashray. So is it material energy? Is it the jiva or is it the spiritual energy?
Yes.
Then the anubhava means what is going to be the experience that's there and that whole operation of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you're going to get both of them happening at once. This is when you're saying before the confusion, because we'll catch one or we catch the other. We don't catch them both.
Yeah.
Because it's not. It has to be one. It has to be the other. No, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whichever is going on. That's which one you're talking about. So sometimes you see they're talking about the mechanics. Sometimes they're talking about the. You know, it's just like mechanically, this is how you do things. But actually, this is the mechanics of Abhideya. Right? But then there's the mood of Abhideya that he points out, that it is actions are performed favorableness for the Lord. So that means if it's favorable to the Lord, means there's going to be, like we were discussing yesterday, that someone's performing brahminical activities. So the activity itself is favorable to the Lord. That's why it's pious. But it's not considered devotional service until those brahminical activities are done to actually please the person. Right? Means that Krishna's pervades that everything is Krishna. There's nothing that's not Krishna.
Yeah.
And the energies of this everything, you know, the energies of the Brahman aspect, when they are managed, they give results. That's Paramatma. So, the activities that are favorable to Krishna, the person, are those. But until you do that to please him, the person, it doesn't become bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
So that's why you see is that what we were talking before is that the pious person is theistic. He accepts it's God's laws. He accepts that this is what we should do. Is that two? Otherwise, if you turn that one on more and this one on less.
Just the
shoulder. Oh, okay. It's something far out. How the left shoulder feels the cold, the right doesn't.
Let's this way.
Huh? No. But I'm just saying it has to do because the heart's on this side and there's a whole. Yeah, that's why this side is covered. This side's open. You know, because also it's open for your arms free. You can't do an arti with all those things on.
Yeah.
But it's somehow you feel that this one will feel cold. This one won't. Only when it gets real cold, you'll feel it. That's why also you wear your shudder on that shoulder, and you know, stuff like that. Yeah. For anybody listening, that's the left shoulder, just in case you didn't catch it. Yeah. Okay, so what are we talking about there? It's talking about the between the two and not understanding the connections. Yes, okay, so the Brahman's performing it, therefore, as we were saying yesterday, it's going in a direction towards Krishna, because it's favorable to the Lord, but not as a person. It's only favorable to the Lord as Brahman, as Paramatma. As the controller of the material world, or as the actual, you know, the material energy. It's not favorable to him as a person, as Bhagavan. But it's going in that direction. So therefore the devotees use that same field, but they add in that it's for the person. That's where it becomes bhakti. So that's why that overlap, you know, just like on the activities of karma, then we're performing those activities that are favorable to the Lord, but in devotion. So the karmis are performing the same action, but not for pleasing the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You say, what to please Brahman or Paramatma, because they'll get their karmic result. But they're not actually about pleasing him as the person. Like, it's just like, I go to the office and meet the bureaucrat there. I take some prasad. Right? So then the point is that you want him to be happy with you, so he signs your paper. It's not that you're necessarily, Mr. Dutta, you're really worried about him, right? You know what I'm saying? But why that aspect? If you're taking because you always give everyone prasad because you want everyone to get benefit of prasad, that's another aspect. And I'm saying you're going and being nice and smiling or just following the etiquette because you want him to sign your paper. So you could say you want to please him. So when you say to the karmi that you should please the Lord, they agree with it. But they just don't know how far, you know, it actually means to please. They don't understand pure bhakti. So they're performing mixed bhakti. You know, even down to the point of bhakti misra karma, then it's still, they see it in context of the theistic aspect. You know, of pleasing the Lord. But it's simply about them getting what they want. Or karma misra bhakti means that it's about bhakti of the Lord, but they still have some attachment to the results. The bhakti misra karma, it's just about the results, but they're pious, so they're willing to go to the Lord for that. Does that make sense? So that's the that aspect. So that's the artha. You know. They want or artarte. They want something, so they go to the Lord with that. So then in here is that he's pointing out abhideya actually means it's favorable to the Lord as the person. Because he says it's opposite of the aversion to the Lord. That means it's positive towards the Lord. The other one, it happens to be, but it's not that you're doing it specifically to please him because you're worried about him being pleased. You know, you're worried about getting your result. Therefore, you know, he's the boss, he has to be pleased. So just by reversing that, it still is mixed with that aversion to the Lord, but you're willing to recognize the Lord. Therefore it takes you towards the Lord. Your back still may be to the Lord, but you're moving towards the Lord. You know, so that's where the moon step comes from. Moonwalk comes from. See, he didn't actually realize that that's how the karmis advance, you know, towards the Lord, but still not quite. You got to turn around. So you have to watch. When you're doing the moonwalk and when you get to the end, you turn around, then that's correct. But if you see they go this way and then come back to the center of the stage, then they've gotten away from the Lord because they've gotten what they wanted. All these things you can see in that. Okay. So is that here? So this abhideya means that the Shastra is saying, perform pure unalloyed devotional service. That's all the Shastra is saying. You know, one may say, no, but different Shastras say, you know, just like for worshipping Kali and killing the goat. No, they're trying to bring you to pure devotional service, but you're so far away, you have no interest. But at least you'll be interested to follow some of the technique. Because in there, killing the goat, you know, midnight, dark moon night out in the cemetery, and these aren't the things that you find Krishna's really into, you know. Krishna's not a goth or something, you know. But you're following Shastra, you're following Guru, you're using the proper mantra, the proper ritual. It means that principles you're using. So the detail is getting weird. But the principle that it's based on is proper. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be the lowest level. And then it goes up through, I think there's five levels of that. And it's the top level, that will be proper devotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
Therefore, they're more pious. That's why Prabhupada said a Kali worshipper, who, you know, proper Kali worshipper, he's more pious actually than you know, someone from, you mentioned, the Christian background. You know, because that person has that faith in the Lord, but there is no, you know, who's the guru? Who's the this, that? How are they going? What's the, they don't know these things. But here, they're following Shastra, so they have a sadhana, they have all the different things. They respect guru, they do, you know what I'm saying? So it's more nicely manifest. So therefore, that Kali is in a better position.
Can we say that one is more progressive than the other?
Meaning?
Progressive means it will come to that.
It will in the long run. Let's say the Krishna there, if he comes in contact with pure devotees, at least the philosophical, because of the monotheistic, that part may be grasped quickly. But you see the cultural part of it, devotees after 50 years are still struggling with that. You know, I mean, just it's not, as long as they get the main part right, it doesn't matter. You remember Krishna at the time of death, don't go back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? But this whole thing that after 50 years and they're still fighting against Varnashram, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, that's not favorable. But you see the philosophy and all that, and the direct devotional activities that they've accepted. But the development of the indirect, how that connects to Krishna, that there's no, doesn't seem to be any gyan on that, or any understanding of that. That's not the principle that they're working at. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of thing. But you see, the Kali worshipper, he's situated better culturally and all that. So religious wise, he's better. But at the same time, as philosophically, he might have a little more problem.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I don't know if you noticed before, those who are like, you know, serious, you know, proper Shaivite backgrounds, you know, you see in the class when they come and they sit, they're very dark for a very long time. The complexion. It takes a long time before that goes away. Because they have so many doubts. I mean, as far as sadhana, this, that, there's no problem. Like that. They're probably even better at it. But you see, is that they'll have these doubts because, you know, Shiva's God, this, that, and how you move this, that, you know, anything connected with Shiva showing some superior, that immediately. So it takes a long time, years and years. But that's pretty good. That's the power of pure devotional service. Somebody was mentioning, they were talking with one Mayavadi, I think it was from Guru Vayur. And I mentioned to him about, you know, they're talking something, and he was so much appreciating what we were doing and how we're doing and this and that. The person says, so why did we take it up? He says, once you get into Mayavad, you're basically, I don't know what would be the appropriate word, but you're messed up for millions of, you know, years. You know, you're screwed.
You're hooked.
You tanked it. Yeah. And so it's just, it's so deep and it's so insidious. So that's the thing. But by association, it will go away. The holy name is so powerful.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. The religion for them is no problem. Anybody you see from a smarter background is, you know, it's so easy for them. And the philosophy means that it's all Vedic and all those things are not a problem. But the point about the absolute and the personal, that's where they have a problem. On the Abrahamic, the personal is okay, but at the same time, it's not actually a real personal, because ultimately it's not, if you push far enough. So you don't push, just talk about, you know, loving God and that. Don't go farther. Otherwise, it goes into the other side. But then, And depending upon their background, if they come from a more orthodox background, for them also the sadhana is not difficult. It's just a different sadhana, but the concept that your life is based on this sadhana, that's for them is normal. You believe in God, you follow this lifestyle. But, you know, if they come from a more, I say, reform or other backgrounds, you also have
more orthodox and less orthodox, like that. And so it means the orthodox follow really strictly things, and they're very careful, and then the less are less. Yeah, so it just depends on the background. It's just like that. You know what I'm saying? So I would expect that someone's from a, let's say, even in the Christian, if they're from Orthodox, it'd be a little easier for them. Then a Catholic would also be fairly easy, a little less, because there's less ritual, but then if they're from Protestant, then they'll have so much problem, because Protestant's about throwing out tradition, throwing out all this stuff. But in general, Christianity is a problem, because they were, technically, they're Jews that threw out their religion and supposedly kept the philosophy. But the philosophy they kept is only the Upadharma, be nice, be good, turn the other cheek, you know, all that kind of stuff.
They're Jewish Apasampradaya.
Yeah, they're Jewish Apasampradaya.
Yeah, outnumbered.
Outnumbered.
Yeah.
Outnumbered.
Well, because they preach. They don't know what they're talking about, but they preach. That's the whole problem, is that they'll have the thing is that they'll go back into the background and then they'll disappear. Because the thing is Krishna West is spreading through ISKCON, not outside ISKCON. You don't hear of them dynamically making devotees, bringing in and things like that. They just go after ISKCON devotees. Like, you know, I was saying before, Gaudiya Math, they don't go after the outside, they go after what's in ISKCON. Before we were discussing about it. The previous now, conversation.
Now we are tired of discussing it.
Yes, it's like, who cares? That's just the modus operandi. So we just don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's very easy to do that, but to start in your own thing, that's the difficulty. You know, just like somebody goes and starts it, and you know, works very hard to make the project, and nobody cares, and people criticize, and after 10, 20 years, and it all happens, and now it's people, and everything's happening, then the institutional management steps in, okay, we'll take it from here. You know, and then get rid of those guys, and then the thing collapses. And then that guy goes, now that he spent 20 years, he knows what to do, so now he goes and makes a new one, and in 5 years now it's good. You know, so, yeah. So, these kind of things one wants to be very careful of. You know, because it's that's why you have both the philosophy and the religion. Does that make sense? So that's what I was saying, is religiously, the Kali worshipper is better than the Krishna, because he actually has more substance to the religion. He has less in his philosophy, because he may have a lot of philosophy, but he doesn't know that they're the Supreme Absolute. He's not monotheistic. So the Krishna, he's got a better situation there, because philosophically he's monotheistic. But as far as religion, it's only a faith. Right? And that's technically, that's in the moderns how they define religion. It's a type of faith. But it's not. Religion means the inherent nature of something.
Yeah.
You want to eat a goat, this is the inherent nature of how it's done. You know? So they don't follow the religion, they just eat the goat, but they, you know, they say, you know, I say, God give us our
daily bread?
Yeah, about the daily bread. What's the first part of it? Yeah, whatever. But whatever it is, you know, it's just, you know, they have some kind of grace or something that they say like that. You have they would have prayers they would say before they eat? You do?
Everybody has.
Everybody has. Okay.
Even the New Age, they have.
Really? They all hold hands. And also the some of the Protestant Christians, they hold hands.
They say whatever they think.
Oh, I see. But they just talk about what they...
I saw your movie, so I don't know.
Okay. You're just quoting...
This is Pramana.
Yeah, just quoting Pramana.
Straight Pramana.
I'm saying my Pramana.
Coming from the, what do you call it? From the mouth of the Aptas.
Those Aptas, they would say every day something else.
Yeah, it's just, it's you know, spontaneous and, you know...
Yeah, today I saw sunrise, and you know, I remembered my mother.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just
said the
traditional to pray after food.
They pray after food.
Yeah, I always go to wash my hands at most, but they feel offended because I didn't pray after food.
Oh, okay, because you prayed before. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it is practical.
Prepaid, postpaid.
And if it wasn't good, you don't say anything. There's also the aspect is if you're out in the middle of the desert and you get some food, you eat it first and then pray after, because in the meantime, someone else will come along and take it. So. Yes, there's time, place, and circumstances. Also in the Veda, because we don't get into it, the smarter than the Brahman, things like that, after you've eaten, then they wash your hands, then there is mantras that they chant for digestion and this and that. There's a ritual. You know, there's a ritual before how you do the parisesana, the grains you feed the life heirs. You don't chew, you just swallow the grains and then water around and sip and do all this thing. Because you take water and put a seat for nectar like that, then like this, then you eat, and then afterwards then you sit for covering, then you go wash, and then they have mantras. So the Duais, I have to say the prayer, so ritualistic and all that. They don't know what ritual is. They have no idea. They have no idea. Yes?
I have a question. View our background Indian on our devotional service when we already devotion.
When we?
When we already devotion.
It can, it doesn't have to. See, it's a matter of if it's prominent or not. Means one has habits, those habits will continue for a while. Like Prabhupada said, you have the fan, you turn it off, it spins for a while before it stops. But the point is that if you hear, don't do that, you know. So then, you know, you just don't do that. But otherwise, if it's not mentioned or by habit, you'll just naturally do what you used to do. But then the thing is it's whether there's an identity there or not. See, if there's no identity there, and habits from the past are being done, it's not actually such a difficulty. Because by chanting and, you know, association, it will go away. But if there's an identity with it, you know, like all this, you know, modern, new agey, and those kind of things, that will be a problem. You know, like we were before, you have those groups that they just preach on what do you call it, astrology or Ayurveda or things like that. They're working with an identity, and so then people join with that. They don't give it up because they identify it with being Krishna conscious.
Now it's yoga,
yeah. So yoga is that.
And vegan.
Huh?
Vegan.
And being vegan, yeah. So these kind of things, yeah, see how out of touch on it. Yes, got to keep up with the times every 6 months, you know. Yeah, so that kind of thing, because vegan is because it's a philosophy. But devotees who are vegan, they don't even understand their philosophy. You know? You know, they think they're doing something great, but they're not. So that is hard to go away, and they expect the deities to be vegan, and everyone to be vegan, and the whole world to be vegan, and, you know, Goloka should be vegan, and, you know, get rid of the cows, let them wander in the fields.
Goloka, then you can call it Goloka.
Yeah, you just call it
just Loka.
Just Loka.
Loka.
Maybe, or what do you call it? Chickpea Loka.
Tapioca.
You know, because you have to grow the chickpeas, you know, because then from the chickpeas you can eat those and get all the protein, and then you can also, when you soak it, you get the water and you can fluff it up and get your...
Aquafaba.
You know, so then it can be chickpea loca. Like that, you know, and then, you know how you say?
Protein loca.
Yeah, so then the gopis are all farmers now. Out, you know, carrying baskets of chickpeas on their head to the market.
They do
label
it.
Bars,
protein bars.
Yeah. No, does it sound inspiring?
Not at all.
No.
No.
And we'll be worshiping chickpea baby.
Yanamaya. Vidyanamaya or Yana?
In Jaya Karma, there are a lot of stories how weak devotees from who were purified by following the Vedic Shastras became advanced devotees.
Yes, yes, of course.
But I have a doubt, but I want to understand why it's happening. Because I was a teacher of Indian students in the country. And
there was a teacher of?
Indian students.
Indian students, okay.
In my university. And I teach to them, and I see that for them it's very difficult to start to practice Krishna consciousness. And I compare with our local devotees and join it at the same time. And the advantage of Indian students is that they can very easily come to celebrations, to festivals, to programs, but they don't want to chant japa. And our devotees are very quickly start to chant 16 rounds and to try to get Krishna and other things, but for instance it's very difficult. And many of them, when I teach them within 10 years, they still maybe chant only one round, not more. And I want to ask, what is the reason?
Because they created an identity that, you know, these things are, before joining, that these things are old-fashioned and not important. And so, therefore, their identity is that we're up-to-date modern Indians. We move with the Western cultural things. But at the same time, all the things that they do value, you know, are there in place. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the wedding, the bride, she has a very nice sari and this and all the Indian jewelry, but you'll see her hair is straight loose. Right? But if you look at any Western karmi thing, no woman has her hair untied during wedding. It's always tied to some amazing, fabulous thing. Yeah, flowers and, you know, and how they twist. And it's just that there's no question of it. But their things, no, we're Westerners, our hair is loose. But they always, no matter what, their hair is loose. That's not Western. Western is, it's loose if that's what's going on, and if there's something, let's say if you're going to go wash dishes or clean the bathroom, you put your hair up. But they'll be sitting there with their hair dragging all over in the toilet and this and that because they're Westerners, you know. No idea. So they've made this identity. So that's what that question before about identity. They identify that we don't do that. So that's why it's harder. Why you don't have that identity with the local devotees. But you'll see is if they do participate, it's much easier for them. If they do have an area that's not, like that going to a festival, then they'll be more involved and more like this than others. You know, so it's just where the identity. So there, the advantage you can say is for those from not from the Indian background is there's no identity. And so they can take it up new. But if, as we said before, if their identity is very strong on something that's non-devotional or something like that, that'll be hard to get rid of also. So it's the same thing. So someone who identifies, you know, New Age too strongly, they'll have the same problems that the Indian who identifies that, you know, we're modern has. Yes, please.
One more detail in that is, generally they've seen their childhood only their grandparents doing that. So it's inherently in their mind, these things you do in old age, not young.
Okay.
And it takes much more time to make them understand, and most of them do understand when you explain detailly how it's not just a normal ritual, it is spiritual. You need to differentiate between the social rituals or the religious aspect to telling it is a spiritual. That it's spiritual. Okay. I do see like those are young, they don't mind doing once they understand it.
Okay, once they get over, so it's not too
yeah.
So that makes sense. So in other words, you have to make the distinction between what's the ritual, you know, the religious thing, and what's the spiritual. Because generally, even the modern thing, they'll catch the spiritual more easily than the religion. So once you show that it's spiritual, you know, because for us, we're following the eternal religion. See, there's eternal religion, that's the thing that's always done, and that's the direct activities. Right? Then the indirect activities, that's where the religion comes in. And so they're used to seeing religion, the indirect meaning has nothing to do with, or it's later like this, or, you know, so many times they say, yeah, when we're old, we'll do all that. In other words, if you can't do anything else, you absolutely cannot work, you can't, you know, sell anything, you can't go to the office, nothing, you're absolutely wasteful, then they'll take it up. But then by then they can't take it up because they're already, you know, their brain is already too attached and they're lamenting that they can't do anything. That's, yeah, it's a very good point.
Okay. Also, understanding this year we participated the first time embassy celebrations was private with the Indians.
Okay.
High class Indians, yeah, working in the embassy for Janmashtami. Man, I've never heard such stupid things about Krishna.
This was actually embarrassing.
Very embarrassing. He said actually, and he's the second secretary in the embassy, young guy, very smart, very successful, obviously.
Right.
Beautiful wife, amazing house, you know. Still dressed like Indians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, we like Krishna because he's modern God. He is very open about relationships, you know. That's why we want to celebrate that.
He's a God of the youngsters.
Yeah.
That was his main point.
He even said.
The hipsters.
Hipsters. He said so many times. And I couldn't understand.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Nanda Baba does have a really good mustache. And that's very important for hipsters.
Yeah, but he didn't have. So it was such a weird...
I felt like leaving.
That was the embassy, so no leaving there.
Yeah, no leaving. We needed them to sign the papers.
Exactly what we were talking about before.
Exactly about that. But I was shocked because they were cultured Indians. They told me his family are Vaishnavas.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said that for him, I talked with him before that celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the most important celebration is Janmashtami.
Yes, yes.
That's what he always does at home. And they are vegetarian on that day. No onion, no garlic.
Strict.
Much more weird things than that.
That was it. They don't want to hear that. They're satisfied.
We got the first-hand experience, couple of hours, that's
it. Oh, no, that's
yeah. They asked me to do a presentation. I just refused. I just played the fool, and I just mumble, and then I run away.
Okay.
We didn't just scare them.
Yeah. Well, but otherwise, if you talk about love of God, that they'll go for that, because they're also very sentimental.
I did Bhagavad Gita for them, and they were very happy.
They go. Anything that has some emotion, some relation in it, and this and that. But they also get into the modern. You see, if they're more intellectual, they tend towards those things.
Yeah.
Because I see is that, let's say, I noticed it first in South India, is that they'll take anything modern, anything that you get in the papers, latest developments, latest things like that, they'll bring that in and connect it. But they generally do a quite good job.
Yeah.
You know, they're sharp. But at the same time, as you know, that was a while ago. So they like to feel that they're up to date, you know, like that, you know, Krishna's hip and that. That's one aspect. Yeah, he is young, he's out with the young guys and all that, but at the same time, as you know, what about Markandeya, who's, you know, the oldest one around, you know, so, you know, like that. Yeah, he didn't mention that, you know. Shiva, Lord Shiva, you know, he was old. He was there.
They didn't
mention Shiva. No, but I'm just saying, you know, he's older and he's cool. And the Vedic thing, that's the thing, everybody's a youngster. No one gets old. Yeah, it's just, they just take that one thing, it makes them happy, and then they get into that, and it's cool, and then they do that, and then next time they'll try it again, if it's still new enough, but if not, they'll try something else. No, they kind of...
You all have experience. We never had any experience close like.
Oh no! That's like Pukka Hindu Bindu. This is high grade. This is intellectual Hindu Bindu. The other ones is just they don't know what to say.
They don't speak English, so you can't really.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But it's, yeah, because when I go to the West, I generally, I mean, now as a policy, I avoid the Indian program. Because, like, Sunday programs for the locals, Saturday programs for the Indians, I avoid that. And also going to their homes, because I just see red. I just lay into them so heavy that it just freaks them out. You know? So, yeah, just for me, I don't do good there. I'm sure maybe now with time I could do, but, you know, before, 20, 30 years ago, I couldn't just rip them to shreds. You know, they say, no, but this, you know, the West, this and that. You only come here to make money. You didn't come here because it was a spiritual. We met the devotees here. The devotees were there. You didn't know that. You didn't get here. And now you've made money, and so now you're lonely. So now you're looking around. You know, stuff like that. Because they want everything to be, you know, sadhus are supposed to be nice and pleasant and encouraging, and, you know, at least the North Indians. South Indians, you can be... You don't have to do that with them. You can be more formal sadhu. But North, they expect this, you know, babas. Huh?
But the new age guru, the South is also trending in that
direction. It's going in that direction now. Oh, with our Karli Walla.
Shankara, Sadhu, Matra, Sadhu, they are
very
good.
If you're in those areas and all that.
When they are around, everything is the fear. Everybody fears like nothing should go wrong, otherwise they'll last.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of the wide range. Because before, it was like, means you would see more of this in you know, earlier India, because there was no real establishment, so you had to do everything with the locals. And the first locals that everything was done with were the high class Indians. It didn't hit the street. Yeah, it was just on that. And slowly, so with time, as it gets established, then you bring more and more people, and then it spreads everybody. But you started there, and so then you start to see, you know, with time, especially the guys that were becoming members, their children, you know, like that. Some families were really modern and stuff like that. And so it's, and so you'd see, so you had to move them. But now you can just, you know, the only Indians you see are the ones, you know, outside the airport wanting to know if you want a taxi. And then you come here. And then whoever's moving through, coming for darshan. And that's it. You don't see, you don't have to interact. You don't quite have the same experience.
That's why it was for us firsthand.
Yeah, firsthand. First yeah, you first see them.
First time, because you see those Indians, some of them are very devotional, like here, some of them have all the watches, you know, the iPhones, and they look like normal.
But they're here because, you know, Krishna is a hipster.
I do remember the survey.
One time I visited my students to write the same thing, but I always did a concern and think that I'm not to write the same project, what you've been doing the last hour of the film of
month. Oh, okay.
And local students usually write how they really enjoy. And all Indians, mostly, my Indian students wrote that because their parents wanted they become doctors, the last hour of the day they will request government to become their doctors and to treat some people for fulfilling the dream of their parents. And when I read them, I was so much impressed, and I asked them, why do you love your parents so much that you want to dedicate the last hour to their dream? They told me because we see every day how much our parents love their parents, and we also want to serve to our parents such way. And then I asked them, why don't you practice Krishna consciousness? And they told, because our parents don't allow us to fall. They want to be really successful in material life. So can we conclude that in the time of Kartikeya Thakur, the Indian society followed to the
It means Gyanamoy would have been more prominent like that. Because you saw this, I would say up to independence, Gyanamoy would have been more prominent. And it'll still be a bit, you know, here and there in the village and that, but that's disappearing. But with independence, then if you're not oppressed, you don't necessarily value what you have. Like in Bangladesh, the Hindus are really into, you know, Hare Krishna stuff. But the same Bengalis on this side, they couldn't care less. You know? Does that make sense? So anytime it's like that, it's generally they're more religious and they follow all that. So they'll follow. But the thing is to find what thread you can do. So you just have to try different angles. So you find, like, you know, Guru was saying here, a very important point of that they take it that it's religious and they don't want to be religious. They don't understand that, you know, working hard at making the money is the religion of money. You know, so they're already religious. They just have to know how to apply it in a broader range than the narrow range they're applying it. Yes?
The main thing with the young students is first cash, those who are independently thoughtful, and then convince them through philosophy and the practical experience of devotional service. Rest of the things they will tell. How the students, they should say lies to parents and these are not lies, and everything else they'll figure out because they have experience.
Mm-hmm.
All the other things which they say, oh, our parents, this, that, those are there, but they're lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we preach in colleges, all these are the standard questions come, and then we have standard answers for that, and there is no problem. Like they go to the next level.
Okay.
Yes.
You have to be expert in everything you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You have to know the mind of people. Otherwise, that's why we were lost with those Indians.
Yeah. No, you just have to know the mindset. And that stuff, you just put on the side. That's going to happen. It's just like the dog will slobber, will wag its tail, and will come and jump up on you. It will do that. You know, it's just that's the way it is. Whatever it is, you know, it's just birds chirp, you know, and cats meow and chase after mice, and cultured Indians will say these things. You know, so you just have to catch those ones, just like. Like Prabhupada, like we were saying, anytime he's dealing generally with, especially with the Krishna, he just talks about love of God. That's the one point they'll all agree on. You don't get into anything else with them. Because as soon as you get into anything else, it's a big scene. So only if they're aggressive, then you start doing, you know, what about the Ten Commandments? You know, thou shalt not kill. So how are you Christian? How can you claim to be Christian if you're not following God's laws? God says, don't kill. You're killing. So therefore, then, you know, so you don't get into that. You get into the one first, and then you find that place. So basically, you can use the same, because we have to appreciate, if you go back, New Age is actually the term for, kind of the modern application of Orientalism. New Age came from India. There's all the astrology, Vayurveda, all the alternative, everything alternative comes from India. You know, in India it's not alternative, it's the normal thing. So therefore, you can use those New Agey kind of angles, but, you know, from the proper Krishna conscious, none of that, you know, kind of getting distracted. So you can use those, and you know, that use modern events and modern things and issues and cause like that. And they like that. It's kind of an identity. You're talking that, they feel very pleased. It's not that, it's an identity that it's cool to identify with that, but it's not actually the identity. If you cut enough, then you'll come down and you'll have them. You know what I'm saying? But let's say the Western person has grown up, that is real to them. The Indians, it's the thing, means we talk about what's up to date. What's ever up to date, that's what they talk about. As soon as it's not up to date, they don't talk about it. But you know what I'm saying? The things I hear, you know, being presented to the community of devotees by the, you know, the leadership, this is the stuff that I heard as a kid. Right? This is the environment I grew up in. So the same, these individuals now are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They're still talking the same thing. On the cultural platform, religious platform. Philosophy, then they're saying what Baba says. And when it comes to culture, they're still talking 1960s. It's amazing. Same stuff. So does that make sense? So they believe it. While the Indians, they don't believe it. They believe that being up to date is the thing. That we're Indians that are up to date. So they're still Indians. But we're up to date Indians. But the Westerners actually think what they're up to date is real. But the thing is whenever that solidifies, then they stay there. And as it moves on, then, oh, that's stupid, and the thing before was stupid. Their thing is the real thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that will be that they get stuck in a time warp.
Yes. Also, finally, what works even to the Indians at all times is when you do a program, our strengths are prasadam and kirtana.
Yes.
And nowhere, as far as I know, there is a concept in the Indian communities that you offer the full plate of bhoga to the Lord. They do offer little, but it's not like what you offer to the Lord, you eat that. That's one thing which even emotionally connects every Indian to Krishna consciousness. That we offer, like whatever we offer to Krishna, we eat that. It's not that we offer to Him something and we have our own thing. That's, and the kirtans also is like, now with the new age they're adding, but otherwise, doing the kirtans,
they're quite happy.
Yeah. And that's what changes them. Then slowly the philosophy and all the other etiquettes, everything makes sense. But initially,
this is prasad kirtan.
Yeah. Initially chanting, it's like, we should not even worry about something. They would because they have their Lord Shiva and Ganapati.
Everybody is there.
They have their own choice of whose name they need to chant.
Yeah. So prasad, kirtan. And the lecture you see, if you have a whole Indian group, they're all just talking in this while you're giving lecture.
Yeah.
You know? They're not being disrespectful. It's one of the rituals that has to be there.
Yeah.
So it's just like in the marriage. Everyone talks through the whole marriage, and depending on the community, at a certain point in the marriage, they announce, everybody pays attention. You know, in the Mangala Sutra, everyone watches. And then after that, everyone talks. Yeah. So. Oh, go ahead.
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Therefore, then, abhideya means those actions that are favorable to the Lord. That brings about then the proper, that brings about guidance, prayojana, the actual realization. So that's the importance of, so it brings jnana. So in other words, if you know the knowledge, then you're going to take up the activity. Then by the activity, you get the prayojana. At the same time as the activity creates more understanding, so therefore your abhideya goes deeper, and you go that. I think it's mentioned in Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. When the samvit potency is mixed with ahladini, that's called bhakti. So in other words, action for the pleasure of Krishna, that's bhakti. When that happens, then the sandini potency reveals the Lord. Because His form is manifest from the sandini. You know, all form is manifest. So sandini manifests when the bhakti is performed. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.